Hail cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. It's free hit chip week for many of us, not all of us. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm great, Josh. Yes, I'm on active free hits. So are you. I was saying to you earlier, I don't think this, like, the level of nervous anxiety has reached its fever pitch just yet.
Yeah.
I'm still in that international break zone. You and I, we were watching some college basketball on Friday. The NCAA tournament is happening. That's taken some of our energy away from FPL.
For sure.
Yeah. I feel like us recording this episode is probably going to propel me into full-on free hit anxious mode.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's been hanging there for a long time. We've been talking about it for many weeks. We all knew this was coming. We didn't know exactly who was going to play. You know, that didn't really break until Tuesday. You know, naturally, it broke like 3 minutes after we recorded the last podcast, which is one of the reasons why we didn't talk too much about specific matchups. We just went team by team. And we got some great feedback on the pod. So thank you to anybody who listened to that week's, listened to last week's episode. Sort of part one of this being sort of the two-part or the second part where we really get into game week 32 strategy. Whether you're playing your free hit chip or you're just making transfers to get ready for this, it is a proper double game week. Not one of those fake ones a couple weeks ago where you just had Everton and Man City. This is a real proper double game week. There are a lot of matches coming up.
I feel like last week's episode was the table setting episode of Game of Thrones just prior to the battle episode where everyone dies.
Episode 9.
This week's episode, yeah. We're all going to die in this episode of Always Cheating, so this will be a fun one.
So we're going to walk through a lot of free hit chip stuff. We're going to walk through free hit chip, like some big picture questions. There's also some like very specific like lineup, do you trust Watford to play twice? We're going to answer questions like that. And then the second part. The great Jimenez debate too. Yeah. Wolves and Watford, the big debate there. And then the second part of the podcast, you and I are both going to reveal our current free hit chip teams with the caveat. I don't want to get grief about my team online, all right? With the caveat that it's going to be changed a lot, I'm sure, before we actually go live with Game Week 32. I will be doing a kitchen table podcast for Patreon supporters on Thursday night. So at that point, I will be hopefully 99% locked into my squad. But obviously, you know, we know who I feel like right now I'm just tinkering on the edges. You know, I've got a 7 or 8 players that I really want to have for 32. And then it's just a couple of other I don't even necessarily want to say differentials, but just like, where do I want to put my emphasis? Mm-hmm. You know, do I want to go, right now I'm actually in a 4-3-3, with four defenders. That's where I'm thinking I'm going to be formation wise, but, we can talk about that a lot more once we get into the pot.
Yeah. I'm in a 4-4-2 right now. I think there's some formation chat, which will be equally interesting. So we are in the midst of an international break. You're posing the question here in the running order, Josh. Do we care at all? Maybe it's just here in the States because the NCAA college basketball tournament is going on. I really haven't put any energy into keeping up what's going on with the U.S. team. I did watch the highlights of the England match in which Sterling scored a hat trick. He won a penalty for Harry Kane. Mm-hmm. Raheem Sterling very much in our minds. Like he's the man right now as far as FPL is concerned.
Yeah, he is. Although I'm not certain he is the best captain choice for this game week, and we'll talk about that shortly. Sterling got a hat trick, Kane scored a pen, Hazard had a brace, your boy Tielemans scored a goal.
Absolutely.
Jesus, Firmino, Felipe Anderson, and Richarlison all played for Brazil. I think the only one that's super relevant there for Game Week 32 is Gabriel Jesus. Because he played, it probably makes you might feel a little more confident about having Aguero and possibly even starting Aguero, captaining Aguero for Game Week 32.
Right. And we should note for people who aren't paying close attention to the Argentine squad that Aguero has not reported for Argentinian duty. So he's just resting and relaxing this international break.
Just having a fight time. Maybe back in California. We don't know. That's where he seems to like to go. I don't know what part of California. Like, I don't know if he's like in Big Sur, you know, if he's like, I don't know if he's going to like Los Angeles.
He's hanging out with his beat poet friends.
Yeah. Maybe he's in Bakersfield. You know, maybe it's Northern California. Maybe he likes the little mountain towns or something. Jimenez played and he played and scored 75 minutes for Mexico and he scored a goal. Indications are that he is not going to start the next match. but we will see about that. With the French match, Pogba had an assist. Giroud scored a goal. Got to think that Giroud is now knocking on the door for a start for Chelsea, right?
Does he have to do to knock old Dadbot out of the starting 11? I don't know. I think it's still a total. It's still in Higuain's court. Sorry, must love him. Must love Higuain.
He doesn't like to rotate, I guess, is the bit. Yeah, he's finally had to do it a little bit with some of the, some of his midfielders. But yeah, he just does not want to rotate. And then just a few other, Mkhitaryan and Josh King both scored goals. And Son did play 90 minutes for South Korea. So as we all knew and dreaded, Son has to go halfway across
the
country.
Give that man a break.
I know, exactly. He was exhausted. Now he's going to play probably 90 minutes in the next one too, and then kind of ruin his chances of being a good Game Week 32 option.
right.
We got a couple new patrons this week, Brandon.
Awesome. Yeah, big thanks to two new patrons at the Mbakani level, Goran Henriksen and Mark Simons. Thanks to you both. If you're interested in supporting the Always Cheating podcast and what Josh and I do week to week, just head to patreon.com/always cheating for more information on free podcasts that we're offering exclusively to our Patreon supporters, things like the Slack chat forum and all that stuff.
That's right. And as I mentioned before, I will be doing a Patreon exclusive podcast on Thursday night. So if you are, if you have any last minute questions about your team, what you're thinking about, like very specific questions, like I have these 10 players, there's one more spot that I'm debating. That's the kind of question that we answer on those. On this kitchen table pod. So keep an eye out for that. Brandon, let's get right into it, man. Cut for a break. Let's just get right into it. All right. It is free hit chip time. It is game week 32. It is a double game week. There's a lot going on. I know you said you weren't quite there yet, but yeah, is my voice getting you excited? Like, is my energy getting you like where you need to be excited?
The way you're talking like we're about to start a NASCAR race is really kind of getting me excited. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And yeah. It's the big double game week. It's the first big deployment of a chip in the traditional chip strategy writ large.
Yep.
It's also, I feel like, it's going to kick off. We're getting through the last international break of the season. Mm-hmm. We are heading straight into the runway toward the end of the season.
Yep.
Am I excited that this really long and arduous season is going to come to an end at some point? Is that why I'm excited?
Well, that could be a valid reason to be excited. I'm having a good season, but even I am kind of ready. It's good. It's like these things have to come to an end. You know, even if you're playing a 12-hour game of Monopoly and you own, Boardwalk and Park Place and you're just dominating, like you're still like, okay, this game is fun. We need to end this game so that we can start a brand new game, you know? And so that's, but we still got 7 weeks to go. What's crazy is that with 7 weeks to go, I have my wild card and all three of my chips, as do you. And there's only three normal game weeks left. Which is kind of wild because normal is kind of in parentheses because game week 33 is a bit of a blank game week. There's a bunch of teams that don't play. I think eight teams don't play. 34, you've got a double game week there. 35 is a double. And then I still have a triple captain playing one of these 36, 37, and 38. So it feels like normal is gone. Normal is behind. Like we're in the twilight zone now. It's all weird from here on out.
Here's the big pitch for 32. So game week 31, lots of blanks, rather anemic. The average overall score was 26 points. It's so low.
Yeah.
And I feel like we have been working toward that. Toward game week 31, we've been dropping players that we like just to get in players that play. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, everything is unleashed. Free hit, I've been bringing in players that I've had my eye on for weeks. Mm-hmm. Harry Kane, we haven't talked about him for quite some time. It's just really fun to have an opportunity to get some of these players back into our thinking and also thinking about how big our scores are going to be. I mean, imagine the worst case scenario for a big double game week like this is it's still going to be a pretty high score.
Well, let's get right into the questions then. The first set of questions are all big picture questions about Game Week 32. Just a caveat at the start, okay? We're, a lot of people who are listening to the podcast, a lot of the conversation right now is built around using a free hit chip in Game Week 32. We recognize that probably something like 30% of the people listening, maybe 50%, a lot of people who are listening will not have that chip intact, will not be playing that chip, will not be using that strategy. I think that's okay, because I think even if all you're doing is setting your team up for Game Week 32, you know, going to double game week, it's pretty common to have a couple transfers in hand, to burn four, to burn eight. And so I think the players that we talk about for our personal free hit chip quads are the kind of players you'd want if you were just bringing in players as well. So I don't think that we're excluding anybody from the conversation here, right? So even the, you know, just I want to know that. I don't want to make it feel like, yeah, I don't want to make it feel like we're talking about just, you know, only people who are in this part of this like very select group can find this useful. At least I don't think that's the case. So Matt Seward says, as you set up your free hit chip team, what players have you regarded as essential and who would you really like to get in, but you just can't make it work?
Yeah, I think this is the big question for me. We had been chatting a little earlier about really liking the overall look of our free hit teams, and neither of us really do. But what we can clearly see from the current state of each of our free hit teams is who is regarded as essential. And it's all the people around those essential players that are really going to be moving around throughout the course of the rest of the week while we tinker. First, I guess I have three player names that I view as essential right now: Raheem Sterling, Sergio Aguero, and Harry Kane. These are all big attacking players. And we can sort of move on to talk about defense, and maybe it's more, it's less name specific and more team specific in the back.
So you have moved then, because last week's podcast, kind of part one of our two part Game Week 32 preview, you were Hazard, not Kane. So I feel like you've moved. I don't know if you still have Hazard, but it feels like you've moved away from Hazard and into the Kane camp. Is that accurate?
That is inaccurate.
Okay.
That is inaccurate. I currently also have Hazard in my midfield.
Okay.
And I am. So the debate for me right now is how much do I want to try and spread points around my team, or do I want to get in five or six really premium attacking players and put all of the burden on them? Mm-hmm. So, and I'm not sure what tactic is really best right now for me, but the way I'm going right now is I'm leaning heavily into these premium players and then putting some pretty low grade C, D list players around them.
Okay. Yeah. I think I'm with you on Sterling, Aguero, Kane. I think Pogba is actually also, I would put him in that camp too. I'm keep tinkering with my free hit chip team. I was doing it actually as you and I were setting up the running order for today's podcast. And there's been no version where I don't have Pogba in my team. I just see him as a lock to play minutes. And you know, they have two fixtures in 32, but then they don't play in 33. So there's no reason why he wouldn't start both of these matches for Man United. And, you know, Watford at home, Wolves away. It just feels like a good, you know, it feels like I see a lot of opportunity there. I also got him for super cheap. And so it's kind of an easy, I bought him at 7.8 million, it's up to 8.9. So, you know, I wouldn't necessarily be able to replace him with someone at that same price point, you know, because the sell-on value isn't as high. So that's another reason why he's kind of locked in.
Yeah, and with that, it makes you really nervous with tinkering, and that's where I ended up with Raul Jimenez, where I didn't really see myself keeping Jimenez for the free hit, but I was hesitant to tinker him out of my lineup, because even though I'll get Jimenez back when the free hit is over, mm-hmm. and I'll get him back with whatever value I had built into him prior to the free hit, as soon as I tinker him out, I can't get him back in.
Yeah.
Or I have to pay full price. So it took me a lot of time to work up the nerve to tinker Jimenez out of my lineup, which I ultimately did.
I'm in a similar spot with him, actually. It's the same thing with Aaron Wan-Bissaka, who I still have, even though I don't know that I'm going to have him you know, when game week 32 actually kicks off. And it's, he actually got, he got pulled from, I think it was England under 21s with some kind of injury. We don't really know what it is. As you said, it could be just one of those international break injuries where it's like injury in parentheses because they just want him for these matches, you know, but who knows, you know? So, but it's the same thing with him where I got him at 4 million. So there's not a lot of sell on value there, you know? And so it's kind of like, well, let me just keep him, you know, I'd almost rather have him over Schlupp just because, Schlupp ended up costing me like, and I had to find an extra 3 or 4 million just, or, you know, 0.3 or 0.4 yeah. million to bring him in.
Can I ask you a more general free hit and double game weight question about how you view your transfers in and your essential players? So,
sure.
When you look at essential players, what's the first thing you want? Is it like you're talking about with Pogba, security of starts in both fixtures?
Yeah.
Is that like the top thing that you're looking for?
No, it isn't. And in fact, you know, I mean, that's, if that were the case, I might be more nervous about having Aguero and Sterling. You know, I don't expect them both to start both those matches. It doesn't really bother me because, you know, we talked about this in last week's podcast. I mean, you know, if you only get one Fulham match or one Cardiff match at home from either one of those two players, that's a captainable fixture, right? I mean, they could not play 90 minutes in the other match and you'd still feel like they were captainable, you know? So, yep. I guess I'm looking for players that I think are capable of double digit returns. That is the biggest thing for me. I'm really, I'm not a particularly defensive player in general. I'm not even really that concerned about coverage, which is one of the reasons why I don't have Hazard on my team right now. I just, you know, I'm just trying to maximize big returns. And, you know, I mean, the team that I've got right now, I mean, I know we're going to talk about this a little bit later. I mean, I'm really tripled up in the Chelsea defense, you know, and that's just, that's like a risk that I'm considering right now. Because I feel like that's just a move that could really pan out, right? If they just get two 1-0 victories, you know, you're looking at minimum 36 points, you know, from those, from those three defenders. I mean, obviously it could backfire too, but, you know, even if you've got one clean sheet out of them, right? Even if you've got one clean sheet and 1 2-pointer out of them, you're still looking at 24 points combined from those two players. Yeah. So, are from those three players. So
it brings us back to the essential conversation and Harry Kane, and specifically who I think we both said we view as essential, and the Liverpool away at Anfield. It's really unappealing for any match. When you have City going to Anfield, you're really hesitant to captain a City player who is the most attacking team in the league at the moment. But it is that Crystal Palace at home, the new opening of the new White Hart Lane. It almost seems preordained that Harry Kane will get, as you say, at least double digits. He could get triple digits. No, right. It seems like the ceiling is so high for that Crystal Palace home match that it suddenly makes Harry Kane essential despite that Liverpool fixture.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I feel like there's a lot of teams like that, right? You have, there's a couple other examples here where you have like one good fixture and one bad. I mean, I guess Crystal Palace is the ultimate example of this, right? Where you've got a Huddersfield at home, amazing fixture. Spurs away, bad fixture. Yeah, like not good at all. But like that one home fixture is so good that it's kind of where, I mean, it's like, you know, like it was hard to get it right with the, I don't expect Huddersfield to score 3 on the road the way that they just did against West Ham, right? They did it once, they did their trick, and I think that's it. You know, I mean, they hadn't scored a goal away since Boxing Day, right? It was the first time they'd done it in 3 months. So, I mean, I'm going to go with what I've seen historically over what they did in one rando game week, you know? And so I feel like that really throws me into the Huddersfield camp there a little bit, you know, and that's actually why I'm really considering Milivojevic. I think I just butchered his name, but Millie, let's say, just because, hey, like that one fixture is quite good, you know, like you could see him scoring a pen, you could see him getting a free kick goal. You know, he's going to play both these fixtures. So, I don't know. I think there's a couple of those, and I think, you know, we're going to talk more about Wolves and Watford in a minute, but that's almost the same thing where you do wonder if they're going to, like, if their top players are going to play a ton of minutes because both Wolves and Watford play each other, you know, at the weekend, you know, in what would be game week 33. They're playing in the FA Cup semifinal. So, you know, with a midweek fixture just days before they go to Wembley, you know, would expect them to maybe rest some of their top players, you know? Well, especially given where they are on the table, you know, neither one of those teams is going to get a Champions League spot. Neither one of those teams is close to being relegated, you know? And so, and if you win the FA Cup, you get a Europa League spot. So they don't have to worry that much about seventh or eighth place or however far down the Europa League spots go this year, you know? So, so why wouldn't they rest players, you know? And I think, and I guess we can just jump ahead to this now, but I mean, my feeling is that Wolves are less likely to rotate because they play Man United. And I don't know why I feel this way, but I just feel like when you play a home match against Man United, that's just inherently like a big match, you know? And I just, it feels hard for me. It feels hard for me to imagine they would roll out there with some B squad, you know, at home against a match the fans are going to be really excited about.
I do recall Swansea heading into the same situation ahead of the FA Cup final, and they played Liverpool.
Yes.
And I think a lot of my hopes were riding on Michu for some reason in that match, and he didn't start.
Yeah.
He came on for five minutes.
Yes. It was a road match, though. That, you know, I feel like that is important. I don't, you know, it's just because they're already on the training ground. I don't know. It feels like it's different if you've got to get on a bus, you know, go to another stadium.
I'm going to draw a straight line from that Swansea Liverpool match to this Manchester United Wolves match, and you can't tell me otherwise.
Okay, yeah, the famous we all know the famous Michu match. Okay, and didn't Liverpool score like five goals in the second half or something?
They destroyed them. Yes, they did.
All right, let's move on to the next question because we're gonna jump around here a little bit. Jeff Petter says, "How many viable bench players are you bothering with?" He says, "I'm thinking you only need one to cover a possible last minute injury, but the other two slots plus the sub goalkeeper can be cheap as chip dross. What do you say?"
I say I agree with Jeff in this situation. The nature of the double game week is that, yeah, we're going to lean toward players that have the, I mean, as you were saying, we want players that have a shot at double digit scores. And maybe that's just in one match. But all of our starting lineup are going to have two fixtures. If you're on a free hit, there's no reason why your starting 11 shouldn't all be double game weekers. Yep. And I think we have a question coming up that speaks directly to that. But the point being is the odds of one of your players, one of your starting 11, not starting at least one match or getting a minute, you know, barring injury or anything like that, is pretty slim. So I think that your bench will be thin, and my current free hit bench is incredibly thin. I only have one double game weeker on my bench at the moment just for budgetary reasons.
Yeah.
So yeah, I tend to agree with Jeff here.
Yeah. I mean, I have Peltier on my bench right now. I mean, he's kind of the perfect, he's 3.9 million. So he's about as cheap as a defender gets. And he has played the last two matches in Cardiff of a double game week. So to me, I mean, they do play Chelsea and Man City. So I don't know what you're going to get out of him, maybe one point. But I mean, yeah, there's something to be said for, you know, I mean, it's not that uncommon for a player to pull up injured in the warm up or something. And so a little safety, 0.2 million extra for a little safety, I think is reasonable. But yeah, you don't need to go more than one deep. You know,
you would like players that do play. Yeah. I have two players on my bench who don't play, but yeah, I will definitely have some backup where they'll get minutes.
Just the way my team's set up right now, I actually have Tom Kearney in my first bench spot, 4.6 million, 0.4% ownership. He started, I think, the last five matches. So that feels like a good, if you can go that high with your money, it sort of depends on how your team works out. I think that someone like him maybe makes sense. Just, you know, I don't know, Fulham have a double game week. They play Man City at home. They play Watford away. They might be able to score a couple goals in that Watford match. I mean, if Watford is really resting players, I mean, you know, they'll have nothing to play for there. And Fulham are, in theory, still playing to stay up. So, yeah, it wouldn't shock me if Fulham won that match or drew it or something.
Yeah. All right, we kind of touched on this, but the next question comes from Juan via our Slack channel. Are there any single game week players worth considering? So I'm looking at the single game week fixtures. The only like high flying one that jumps out at me is Arsenal hosting Newcastle. But could you conceivably make a case for a striker like Lacazette or Aubameyang over Aguero or Kane or even somebody like Batshuayi?
No, the only circumstance in which I would consider it would be if it was someone that was really cheap, you know, like if it was somebody that was like, I can't even think of a good example right now. Like if there was like a, you know, 5 million midfielder, 5 million defender, or not defender exactly, 5 million forward, let's say, and they just had an amazing fixture and they were cheap enough that you could still bring in like a bunch of double game week players, but like his cheapness allowed you to bring in those. I don't know. Like, I'm trying to like think of a circumstance in which I would do it. I mean, the answer is I basically agree with you, but I don't know. Like there's no circumstance where that would be the case. Like, does that make any sense?
No, it did make sense. I think you're looking for single game weekers to enable your big double game week squad. So like Peter Crouch, 4.5 on Burnley. Would it be wild if Peter Crouch came on the 85th minute and got a goal or an assist against Wolves? No, it wouldn't. So that's kind of a flyer you can take if you're looking to plug a cheap hole.
Like if Ashley Barnes got injured this week and you knew that Crouch was going to start, and you know, maybe that, I don't know. But yeah, I agree. There's not really a circumstance in which I'd have a single game week player this week. Obviously, if you're not on your free chip, that's a whole different conversation. You know, I mean, in that case, I would be holding my Leicester players, you know, who are home to Bournemouth. You know, I hold my Arsenal players and home to Newcastle.
Hold your Bournemouth players.
Yeah, I mean, Bournemouth players too. Yeah, exactly. Even, you know, Burnley at home to Wolves. I mean, if I had Ashley Barnes or something like that, I wouldn't be dropping him for a double game week player. I mean, I think we'll talk about this more in a minute, but those forward slots are kind of tricky. And really, once you get past Kane and Aguero, there's not a lot of sure things, you know, especially when you consider that Wolves and Watford are both likely to rotate some players. So, I would be fine rolling with if it wasn't a free hit chip, I'd be fine rolling with someone like Barnes in this game week.
Something occurred to me while you were talking regarding Wolves and not being on your free hit. I think the way that we're starting to talk about Wolves and Watford is free hit chippers are going to get scared off of Wolverhampton heading into 32. You're not on your free hit. I think you can then look at your Wolves players as a differential, maybe a leg up, because, you know, while they do have the possibility of rotation, they have the FA Cup semifinal coming up, they still have all the opportunity to score points, and that and they have these decent fixtures against Burnley, and they'll, you know, depending on the lineup, really try to bring it at Old Trafford. So I think that's worth mentioning.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point, especially Wolves defenders, you know, who I may still have Jimenez. I think some people will probably have Jota, but someone like Doherty just doesn't work this game week, I think, price-wise. It's just a little too he seems like one of those guys who really could get rested, you know, in that middle game week. I mean, he's been rested a lot in that kind of circumstance already this year. So, all right, next question. Rob Dirks says, who are some game week 32 free hit differentials to consider, and what highly owned players would you consider passing on? Says my current overall rank is 130K, and it's difficult to make up ground with so many teams looking similar. Yeah. You know what? The first thing I'll say here is I would try not to look so much at other people's teams, especially if you're in a circumstance like that. I think that it can actively be harmful to look too much at other people's free hit chip teams. I think it starts to get you to talk yourself into things that you don't really believe in yourself.
Also, case in point, you look at a lot of free hit chip teams and they all have Sterling and they all have Kane. But if you look at the overall percentage of ownership, 17% ownership for Sterling, and on Harry Kane, it's 15%. Those are incredibly low ownership stats for players with huge points potential. And I would argue that they are, in a way, differentials in this game week, particularly if your main aim is to get a big overall rank rise on a free hit chip, which will be my aim. So you can look at Kane and Sterling as differentials if you're, you know, taking into account the overall herd.
That is true. Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. That's like a real like Twitter. This is like the fantasy community versus reality circumstance where it's harder to feel like everyone is free hit chipping. Everyone is bringing to these players. It's just not true. And we'll see a huge percentage of free hit chippers this week, but I bet if you go to FPL Discovery, this great site that tracks all this kind of data, on, you know, Saturday morning when Game Week 32 kicks off, you're going to see that it's like maybe 30% or 40% of the top 100K has actually done this, or the top 10K. You know, it won't be nearly as high as you might expect. So, yes, I wouldn't let that scare you off too much.
Let's talk about Hazard here. Let's talk about Chelsea in general, because
sure.
I think we're going two different ways with Chelsea, where I'm intrigued by your talk about tripling up on Chelsea defense as a differential. And then there's also the question of Hazard, even Higuain. I've heard from a few managers who are saying, I'm keeping Higuain as a differential because Chelsea's fixtures coming up in the double are Cardiff and Brighton. Brighton at Stamford Bridge. Really great fixtures, either defensively or attacking. So you're just completely out on Hazard. Is it for budgetary reasons, or is it because you're just a human with a brain and you can see how he has crippled FPL managers all season?
It's primarily budgetary, actually. Part of the problem is that because so many people brought him in for game week 31 or in preparation for game week 31, and I guess 33, these blanks where a lot of the top teams weren't playing, and so you kind of had to have Hazard. I mean, I've got Hazard in my non-free hit chip squad right now for the same reason. His price has risen so high. He's almost 11 million. And so in order to bring in Hazard, you have to be dropping a lot of players, someone's got to go, And I mean, that's suddenly, it's like bye-bye Jimenez, bye-bye Rashford, like someone cheap's got to come in and not start, because like you got to bring in like a 4.2 million players like that. Just right now I can't make it work. I'm actually still trying to. I'm at least considering it. I talked about defense earlier. I mean, there you have to at least be wary. I mean, if Hazard, he scored a brace in the international break already, which is kind of worrisome. And if he if it starts to emerge that he is like one of the consensus captain choices for this game week, which I still don't feel like is really the case. I feel like it's really just skewing towards Man City players right now. Then I may have to do it just to avoid possibly slipping behind if he returns. I don't have a lot of faith in him. I don't expect him to do very well. He is not one of the players that I would ever consider captaining for this game week. Don't particularly like him, and I'm ready for him to leave the Premier League. So there's my about Eden Hazard.
Very clear, Josh. Yeah. Very clear on where you stand there.
What do you think? Let's hear your thoughts.
My thoughts are, I think I described it last week as Hazard is a bit like berserker mode. He is he could fall flat on his face like he has it at many points this season, or he could do well. And I think I'm just viewing him as what's the new conventional FPL term? A sword. Mm-hmm.
Does the sword and the shield thing, like, is that like a little too Dungeons and Dragons for you? Because that's kind of how it is for me.
I got to be honest with you. I'm not entirely sure what the metaphor means, but
it's like defense versus offense, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I do view the Hazard pick as more of an offensive pick. And, I've kind of been oscillating, or I've just been floating around the 10K to 20K overall. And if my goal for the end of the season is to finish top 5K or even higher, then I'm looking to make some sort of strike. And Hazard is that. If I have other solid, more template picks, be it Aguero or Kane or Sterling, and if I can afford Hazard, then yes. I haven't yet seen where it's better for me to get rid of Hazard to bring in Jota and Milivojevic.
Sure. But don't you think outside of the context of this podcast, Hazard is the template? I mean, I feel like I've barely seen a free hit chip team that doesn't have Hazard in it. I mean, I feel like I'm this like lone voice shouting on a mountaintop that he sucks. He doesn't even suck. It's just that he wants to go to Real Madrid. He clearly hates playing Versari, clearly hates all his teammates. He's just he's ready to go. And the fact that he, tooled around and didn't do anything in the Everton match, then scores a brace 3 days later for Belgium tells you everything you need to know. He's just not plugged in.
Yeah, I don't think you need to really even build a narrative around it. I think you can just look at his points returns in this calendar year, and that tells you the story there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. But yeah, he's hurt you so much this year, Brandon. He's hurt you so often. I love that.
All legendary abusive relationships, I'll come back for more. So, you know, and it is, you know, it's a fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, yeah. Shame on me. I will take the blame for this when it all goes belly up. And that's fine. Yeah. I'm not going to blame anyone else.
What about, are there any cheaper differentials that we should consider here? I mean, I think this is where you get into it's where you get into a tricky category, I think, because, you know, there's, I think you mentioned Wolves defense earlier. I think Delafeu is one of those players who I think he's in that category where he's probably not going to start both with the FA Cup coming, but maybe he only starts one of the two. But if he starts, it's like you want whatever Watford player plays Fulham at home, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess we just don't know who that's going to be. But if we felt like he was going to start, if I told you right now that Delafeu was going to get 120 minutes, would that be enough for you to bring him in for the double game week, or at least consider him for the double?
It'd be close. I would definitely consider him. I mean, the Watford player that I'd really want, oddly, if you could give me any type of guarantee like that, would be Troy Deeney. There are two differential strikers that I like for 32 that I wish I could afford. Troy Deeney, bigger concern in terms of minutes, just given his age. And
Brazilian legend, too. I think he's playing with them right now. So it's
currently playing with Brazil, Troy Deeney. And but I mean, to have an opportunity to win silverware with Watford, he'll want to be a part of that. So his priority will be the FA Cup, just as the team talisman. And then there is Batshuayi on Crystal Palace. I think he has the biggest potential. Zaha has been struggling a little bit with injury. I think he probably has the biggest potential to start both matches and playing up front and getting that game against Huddersfield would be huge and a decent leg up on other free hitters.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good question. I mean, you know, Crudge on the Slack asked how we felt about the Spurs defense. And my feeling is that I don't feel very good about that Spurs defense. I don't trust them. I don't have a lot of faith in them. I don't think that they're as prone to rotation as some of the other teams are, though. They will not be playing the weekend of game week 33. So, they will have the Champions League match. You know, like, but the Champions League match would be almost a full week after they play their midweek game against Crystal Palace. So I don't worry too much about them being, you know, rested and rotated. I mean, if Son, for example, wasn't going on international duty, I would feel really good about having him in my squad. You know, Kane, I don't worry about as much, obviously, just because he plays so much when he's healthy.
Dele Alli, Christian Eriksen, any other Spurs attackers beyond Heung-min Son that scream out to you?
Too expensive for what you're getting, you know? Yeah. I mean, neither of them
I totally agree
this year. But my point about Spurs is just that, I don't trust their defense, and I think we've seen no reason to think you can trust them, right?
Yeah, Hugo Lloris, we're going to talk about goalkeepers here in a second. He's just so many awful howlers this season. And
Potro rotates his fullbacks a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Danny Rose is probably, next to Harry Kane, the one I'd really love to have from this current Spurs team. But yeah, the fullback rotation is a problem.
All right, one more big picture question. Then we have a couple lineup questions. I think we're going to go through kind of in a lightning round style. Okay, Brandon? So final big picture question is, who are the best overall goalkeeping options this week?
Yeah, I think there are two standout favorites, and it all depends on one particular decision. So there's Ederson for Manchester City, and there's Kepa for Chelsea. So for me, I have Ederson at the moment because I see a greater attacking upside with – all right, let me reset that. So it all depends on who you're going for. Are you going for a Chelsea defender, a Chelsea fullback, or Laporte? Mm-hmm. I'm going Azpilicueta over Laporte, and so to get my share of the Manchester City defense, I go Ederson. I think if you go Kepa, then you can do Laporte. That's very appealing, Kepa and Laporte, because you're saving, I think it's 0.6 million over the Ederson Azpilicueta double up. But if I just look at it, Ederson and Azpilicueta feels more FPL powerful to me. Mm-hmm. Five assists for Dave on the season versus two goals and one assist for Laporte. You could argue that you want the Laporte goal over an Aspi assist.
Yeah.
But these fixtures for Chelsea are compelling enough for an attacking fullback.
That's fair. You know, it's if Claudio Bravo wasn't injured, you would wonder if eventually Ederson would get a rest. I mean, he's starting for Brazil right now over the internationals. But as it is, there's just really nobody who can play in that keeper spot outside of Ederson. And you got this guy Muric, who I've never even heard of or seen before. Like, I literally just pulled up his photo. I've never seen him in my life. I don't even know how to spell his first name or pronounce it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't think Muric is going to get any minutes. Like, you know, it's not like a...
Do you think Muric exists?
Sure he's
a
wonderful guy with... I'm sure he's a wonderful guy with an easily pronounceable name once we get to know him in the league. But as it is, you know, I'm not even sure if I'm saying Muric correctly. So, you know, I don't think he's going to play. So as it is, I do think that Ederson is maybe a little bit safer. You're actually maybe talking me into him over Kepa possibly. I will just to play devil's advocate here a little bit. I think that you could consider okay, so I'm a little worried about Gaita, and just I just still worry about the rotation there with Hennessy, and it just doesn't feel safe to me to go with Gaita, mm-hmm. even though he's cheap. I just don't trust him. So I think that Matt Ryan is an interesting option here. They play Southampton at home in game week, in the first fixture in game week 32, and then Chelsea away. Now, obviously, I don't think he's going to keep a clean sheet away to Chelsea, but would I expect him to get maybe 3 points in that game? You know, like. Maybe up to 6 saves possibly, or 3 saves and a goal conceded. You know, keep a clean sheet at home to Southampton possibly. I do think that's a possibility. And I you know, and he's so much cheaper that could be the million that allows you to bring Eden Hazard into your team, you know? So
he's definitely one to flag for non-free hitters as well, because mm-hmm. as we know, Brighton have the triple double game week. So Matt Ryan will blank in game week 33, but if you bring him in for the doubles in 32, you've got 2 other doubles right in a row in game weeks 34 and 35. So Matt Ryan, a great long-term pick for anyone not with the free hit chip.
Excellent point. All right, Brian, a couple of specific questions here. Let's do this lightning round style, okay? Because I want to get to our personal free hit teams in a minute here. AJ says, thoughts on the premium striker options for game week 32? And then he lists Kane, Lukaku and Rashford, Aguero, Higuain. We have not talked about Gonzalo Higuain at all. Then Alex Martinez sort of chimes in and says, if you already have Jimenez in your team, is there an advantage, disadvantage to keep him in? You already talked a little bit about, you know, the issue with if you've had him in your team for a long time, his price has risen a ton. So if you mm-hmm. sell him, you're selling him at a, you know, a huge loss. And so it does, you know, you wouldn't maybe be able to move him to someone you want a little more for this game week easily, you know, because you're basically like moving down a level in terms of the kind of player you'd bring in. So, you know, we talked about Kane a little bit already. Aguero, he's just a must, right?
Yeah, Aguero is an absolute must. As you said, as you remarked, Jesus traveling with the Brazil squad, which just like adds another layer of doubt over Gabriel Jesus getting a start over the double game week.
Yep.
Harry Kane, if he's fit, he plays. You love him in an important game. And what more important game, now that the title is well out of their reach, opening up their new home stadium against Palace in the second fixture of this game week just seems like a huge opportunity for Kane to make his mark.
Yep.
Lukaku and Rashford, that's really maybe the most interesting conversation here, because both have performed decently over the last couple of months, but somehow neither of them are entering into my thoughts. At the risk of having a coverage conversation, I just feel like Paul Pogba, I'm fine with that being my only Manchester United attack. Lukaku might even be the most interesting one to pick if you're choosing between Lukaku and Rashford, just because Lukaku seems to be sucking up all the FPL points mm-hmm. surrounding him, kind of to our chagrin. Like Rashford is not the plum FPL pick that he once was now that Lukaku's back from injury.
But is he officially then? Is he fully cleared?
fully cleared to start in game week 32, Lukaku?
Did he play for Belgium? Like, has he been, like, I don't know what the status is with him. Like, I is he, like, healthy enough to start again? Could he start the Watford match? Is he healthy enough for that?
There is no confirmation. I mean, he's still flagged as injured with a foot injury. Dinery hasn't cleared him on his site. So, right. This is more of a hypothetical conversation if later on the week we do see that Lukaku is fit.
Yeah.
Injury news, of course, during the international break, you don't know who is just struggling to get match fitness for their club. So they opt to not report to international duty because if they do, they could aggravate some injuries. So if you're 75% and you're Lukaku, my brain is kind of signaling to me he's actually just working on getting match fitness so he can start for United once the break is over. But I mean, for Manchester United strikers, are you considering either of them, one of them?
Well, that's what I was getting at is, you know, I mean, Rashford I'm not considering because I don't really trust him anymore. We now know that if Lukaku and Rashford play together, then you don't want Rashford. Right. I think that's he's set up some nice chances for Rashford has done some nice things for Lukaku, but he is now a forward playing as more of a midfielder. I know they're saying it's a 4-4-2, but Lukaku is the one who's getting the chances in the box. And if there's even a chance that we're going to get two fixtures where Rashford is out left and Pogba is through the center or whatever, you know, I mean, obviously the players move around a lot up there. I just don't want Rashford for those matches. If Lukaku is fully healthy, it will cause a real rethink in my team. I would really consider a three heavy hitter forward rotation. Man United don't have any FA Cup matches to play for. They have, it's kind of like Spurs where they don't play in game week 33. So they can go all out in these two fixtures. You know, they're not going to have three fixtures in 8 days or whatever, you know, they're just going to have the two. So, you know, I think for them, I think they can really go for it. And that being the case, I mean, that's why I like Pogba, but I mean, I do sort of like the idea of having Lukaku and, there'd be no Hazard in that case for sure. He's someone I would consider, you know, right now, we'll talk about this in a minute, but, you know, I still have Jimenez in my squad. There's a question of desperately seeking Dusan about Wolves and Watford options for game week 32. My feeling about Jimenez is that I think he plays in both matches and I think he gets 120 minutes or thereabout. And this guy, he just finds a way in virtually every match that he plays in to get some kind of attack in return.
Life in Jurassic Park.
He finds a way. Exactly. So I think that I would expect to get at least one attack in return out of Jimenez over two fixtures, even if he doesn't start one of the two.
Yeah, of all of the mid-price picks, I mean, I mentioned Deeney and Batshuayi. Had I been able to keep Jimenez up front, would do in a heartbeat. Absolutely.
Yeah. I understand that. I may end up dropping him too, but right now he's still in the squad. All right, Brandon, we have one last question before we go to our break here. And Adam P says, which defense is the bigger trap, Chelsea or Manchester United?
That's a good question. I mean, Chelsea have a worse record recently, I believe. Mm-hmm. But I kind of feel like, sneak preview, my free hit side. I have Lindelof in my back line, and I don't feel great about it. I'm honest with you.
I had him and I dropped him. He may still come back in. Do you hear this thing about his wife is now like 38 weeks pregnant? That worries me a little bit. You wonder if he might rotate one of those matches. And
it is their eighth child, Josh. Do you think he has to be there for every birth?
All eight of them. You heard it wrong, Brandon. She's actually having eight children. So it's very serious.
An octomom. That's terrific.
Yeah.
Lindelof will be an octodad. Terrific.
Luke Shaw's on nine yellow cards, so he's a worry. And then if you don't get one of those two, then you're in the situation where you're like, do I want to spend $6 million on Ashley Young? You know,
Wolves
are going to score in their match against Man United. you know, or 5.6 million Chris Smalley. It's just, it's not palatable. And even 5'7 and David De Gea isn't very appealing to me. So, I mean, you know, we talked about like players you'd kind of want to have, but you probably won't have in your free hit chip team. I think that the Man United defenders are in that category. I just don't, I don't think I can make it work.
Yeah. Okay. It's agreed. Manchester United, somehow the bigger trap than Chelsea defense.
All right. All right. Let's take a quick break and we're going to come back and we're going to reveal our current free hit chip squads.
All right, let's take a minute for our good friends at Starting 11, the live Premier League fantasy app that you can play for free or cash prizes. Josh, you and I have spent a lot of time recently talking about the NCAA March Madness tournament, and it reminds me of Starting 11 insofar as we've been building FPL game week sides since July. And coming to this NCAA basketball bracket, 64 teams, sky's the limit. We could sort of pick and choose, and it felt like starting fresh, a clean slate. Just like Starting 11 allows us to do any day there are two or more Premier League matches, it's like filling out a March Madness bracket.
I like this. I like where you're going with this. This is an analogy that resonates with me on a human level. So thank you.
You're quite welcome. Your beloved Tennessee, your beloved UC Irvine are not going to be available through the Starting 11 app. So I just want to flag that at the outset. Right. Yeah. But without any budgetary restrictions, you can pick the best 11-man squad anytime there are two or more Premier League matches. Yes. Make substitutions on the fly in real time, just like a real-life manager. Join thousands of players worldwide competing in the English Premier League contest for cash or for pride. Josh, where can people play for cash?
Yes, Brendan, people can play on the iOS. That is the iPhone operating system. They can play cash games in the UK, US, Canada, and Germany. Cash games are also live for Android devices in the United Kingdom. Or you can just pick up the app and play for free wherever you are. Brendan, people can also download the app in the Apple's App Store or the Google Play Store. I have not been in that Google Play Store, Brendan. I've been such a long-time iPhone user, but I kind of want to go. You know, you and I are actually talking about getting an Android just so we can experience both versions of Starting 11, the Android version and the iPhone version.
The first reason to get an Android device is to play Starting 11 on an Android device. The second reason, as you say, is to go check out that Google Play Store. I've heard so much about it.
Exactly. This is not an ad for that, but I know I am curious about it.
All right. For more information, just visit starting11.io. You can get details on the app, helpful video tutorials on how to get the most out of it. And yeah, you can play Premier League Fantasy daily and for cash. What more could you ask for?
Exactly. I have been wasting my money gambling on things I don't understand, like the fortunes of a 14 seed in the NCAA tournament. I should be smart and participate in a game that I do like, Starting 11 Daily Fantasy. Visit starting11.io. All right, Brandon, the moment is here. Let's reveal our bus teams. And again, if I get hit by a bus tomorrow, this is my team. Do I feel happy about that? I don't know. I don't think so. But yeah. I don't know what would make me happy. It's like I want certain people to get injured and certain people not to get injured. So I'll read off my keeper and defense, and then you can read off yours. Okay.
Sounds good.
Compare the two. So yeah. I am currently in a 4-3-3. Okay. Mm-hmm. I have a triple up with my Chelsea defenders, which is an aggressive move that I am considering. This is, you know, version 5.0 or whatever. So right now I have Kepa, Aspie, and Louise as my three Chelsea defenders. Although I think your Ederson argument is compelling, and I'm going to consider that. I have Laporte, and then I have Juan Bissaka as a placeholder. But I suspect that if I'm going to start a Crystal Palace defender, it will probably end up being Schlupp, especially if there's any chance that Wan-Bissaka is injured, which looks like there might be a chance of that. So Wan-Bissaka is there for now because I don't want to transfer him out and then not be able to get him back in. So that's where I am right now. So that's heavy Chelsea defensive coverage. I mean, they're playing Cardiff and Brighton. You know, it's just
– It looks good.
It looks good. It looks promising. You want at least one Chelsea defender, even if they have let us down a little bit. Laporte is just, I feel like you need I talked about this in last week's podcast. I mean, Aguero, Sterling, and Laporte, just, you know, maybe it's Laporte / Ederson. Those are just the three spots that just feel so like locked into my team. They were the first three people in my free hit squad.
Yeah.
And I'm going Laporte over Ederson for now, but I may swap that around. If so, I would probably only go with, I would probably move Laporte to Ederson. And then I'm not sure I'd go with three Chelsea defenders in that case. Like three, that seems strange to me. I don't know. Like Rudiger, I don't know. Like, I guess it would just feel weird. I feel like I'd never had a squad that had just three defenders across the board like that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you feel like with Kepa, it's like, even if they like conceded a goal, like he might get some save points or something. But with defenders, it's so either or sometimes. And I realize they can score an assist, but you wouldn't really get that from Luiz or Rudiger that often, you know?
Yeah. I like the thinking. I mean, if they walk away from this game week, Chelsea does, with two clean sheets, then that's a huge call.
Massive. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'm rolling out with a 4-4-2. So I have a back line of four, which I'm not thrilled about. I do feel like the best way to attack game week 32 is through the attack. So I'd much rather be a 3-5-2 or a 3-4-3. But anyway, here I am. I have Ederson in goal, Azpilicueta in the back line, followed by Lindelof, Tompkins, Tompkins for Crystal Palace. And that's a budget pick. I am here to talk about Jeffrey Schlupp. Obviously plays much farther forward than lots of these other Crystal Palace characters. And he has taken over the PVA favored attacking defender role this season. And then I have our friend Lewis Dunk rounding out my back line.
Wow.
So it's not like, wow, the stars are out tonight and Brandon's free hit defensive ship. They are not. But it's kind of a cobbled together to help me get to where I want to be up front. So yeah, Ederson, Aspi, Lindelof, Tompkins, and Dunk.
Okay. That's interesting. My feeling right now is that it feels a little weak with that Tompkins Dunk duo. But I don't know if you want my opinion or not. But that's
That's why we're here. We're here to chat. I mean, you both of those guys, you know, they have a goal off of a set piece waiting for them. I mean, it's nowhere near the attacking threat that you get from somebody like Jeffrey Schlupp. Maybe what has to happen, as I was alluding to earlier, is that Lindelof has to go just for lack of faith. But at 5.1, it's not like Lindelof is so expensive that he frees me, turning him into a 4.5 defender,
I feel
frees
like,
me up to do a lot.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like what you could do there is just move Ederson to Matt Ryan and then use that money to upgrade one of those two defender spots and bring in Laporte. I don't know. Like, if you want a Brighton player, I feel like I'd rather have Ryan over Dunk. I mean, I know like Dunk can score, but I don't know. That's my like, I haven't like thought it all through. I don't know what how the money works out, but just something to consider.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. All right, where are we in the midfield?
All right, midfield. Let me get it back here. Midfield. I have a 3-man midfield right now. I have Sterling, I have Pogba, and I have Milivojevic. God, I used to be able to say that correctly, and now I'm like, I lost it.
I
have Millie, Pogba, Sterling. The Millie pick is just for that Huddersfield match, really. Although, you know, I'd expect him to get 2 points in that Spurs game. Does Millie stay in my team? I don't know. Probably not. He's got 8 yellow cards. I don't think he'll get 10 before the game week. I guess it wouldn't matter because he's not going to get a red if he gets a red in the Huddersfield match, then everything is gone. Catastrophic. So that's the three. Millie is the one that I don't love. If I was doing a 4 in the middle, I would be happy to have Millie. I like him as a 4. It feels like I'm putting all the pressure on him as a third player in a 3-man midfield.
I am joining you in the Crystal Palace midfield. Apparently, I have a rule that if you play on Crystal Palace, you're in my free hit. Your first name must be James. So James MacArthur joins, and that is, again, a budget pick to help me get to my other three midfielders, which are Hazard, Sterling, and Pogba. So across there, Hazard, MacArthur, Sterling, Pogba. Yeah, I feel pretty – well, do I feel pretty good? I feel good about that. Kind of wish that MacArthur were somebody else, but I genuinely can't afford anyone else. He's 4.8. I have 0.1 in the bank. And that Huddersfield home match, you would expect Crystal Palace to see some goals there.
It's actually good for me to talk through this with you, because it makes me realize how much I would have to sacrifice to bring in Hazard. You know, it's like, it's everything basically. And so, yeah, it's interesting. Like, I'm still considering, sometimes I do this on the podcast where I completely write somebody off and then I reveal my team a couple days later and I've got that player in the squad. So obviously things can change. You can change your mind. We all do it all the time as fantasy managers, but, right now it feels like a big sacrifice. I mean, basically, you know, I don't know. I mean, but is Milly that good either? I mean, honestly, who knows, right? He's like a central midfielder who scores pens, you know? So there was a question that I don't think we're going to get to about Zaha. And if Zaha is injured, does that make Milly less of a compelling candidate? You know, like, do you still want Milly if you don't have kind of your fastest player getting in the box and winning pens for you? You know, so that's something to consider too.
Yeah, I have a few concerns about James McArthur too. I mean, his minutes have been getting limited the last three matches. He didn't even start in game week 29, but three assists in the last five. That's some appeal there.
Some appeal, yeah.
But it seems like we're both solidly on Sterling and Pogba. I don't think either of those guys are going anywhere for us.
All right, let's move into the forward line. I have Kane, Aguero, Jimenez. Will Jimenez stay? I don't know. Will he turn into Quainer, you know, to enable me to bring in Hazard or something? Maybe, you know, we'll see. It's there's a lot to think about here, guys, and girls, and Brandon, and everybody.
Yeah.
But right now, that's where I am. Aguero, Kane, Jimenez.
I am on the Colin Quainer bandwagon. He is my main last guy on the bench, and Aguero and Kane are my two starting strikers.
Okay. Yep. That's what I figured you were at. That makes sense. And to get Quainer, you have to go into the app, right? You cannot buy him through the desktop site anymore. You have to go into the app and like sneak him in, right?
I actually bought him. I use the Safari browser, so maybe it's a loophole that I found through Safari. But yeah, the dude is on loan at Ipswich Town, so he really shouldn't be up for grabs. But there he is.
I'm seeing him right now in Chrome too. Maybe it's like a UK thing. I don't know. I heard some people say like, oh, you had to go onto the app to pull him up. So.
And the appeal there is his price is 4.3. I mean, maybe Firefox has a some sort of thing that you can link up where it talks to the championship fantasy game, and then it's sort of a
maybe
it's a cross app loan move.
And then bench wise, I have a couple players in there that I just haven't dropped yet that I don't think will stay in my team. I've got Gaita. If I'm going to go with Kappa Raiders, and I'm going to end up dropping Gaita. I have Tom Kearney. I talked about him earlier. That feels like a safety valve pick where he's somebody that I would expect to get minutes over these two game weeks. If anything happened, any player got injured, probably going to get 4 points out of him, you know, probably nothing more than that. Anything else would be a nice bonus. And then I've got Dale Stevens and Peltier as my other two players.
Yeah, the most expensive guy on my bench is 4.4 million. In goal, it's Hamer. You know, much talked about all season. My first time with Ben Hamer in my squad, very exciting times. First on the bench, a non-double game weaker, Pierre-Emile Højlberg, one of your favorite players, Josh. They play away to Brighton. And then Peltier and Quainer. So that, like a really rotten bench, and I really don't want any of these guys to play.
No. But I mean, that's how you have to do it. I mean, you know, maybe one kind of safe spot, and then two, just like total randos, like the cheapest players you can get, just to fill it out. I mean, it's the beauty of it. That's what makes it fun. It's a fake wild card, you know?
These are our bust teams. Subject to change, but the armband is where for you?
Yeah, Matt Seward asked who our bus team captains are. I actually have to go look. Let me check here. So my armband right now is on Raheem Sterling with Kane vice captain.
Interesting. I have Sterling captained as well, but vice captain on Aguero. I'm just all in on City with Fulham and Cardiff fixtures to come.
I may swap it to Aguero. I may swap it to Kane. You know, Aguero is like one of those just, is he going to do it? Is he going to start both of them? You know, like, I think he probably will. I mean, you could certainly start Jesus in the FA Cup semifinal, you know, against Brighton, right? Mm-hmm. That was like, that would not be insanity from Pep to start Gabriel. I mean, Gabriel Jesus is a player who would start for like 18 out of 20 teams in the Premier League, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, what club would he not start for? Liverpool? Like, outside of that, he'd start for all of them, right?
I suspect so. Maybe Manchester Arsenal. United. Maybe. But if these fixtures were flopped, like, if they weren't playing at home in the second fixture, then I would be worried about Aguero. But I just feel like Cardiff home, it's a home fixture at the Etihad. Aguero's always really does the business at home. That's where he plays.
Yeah. God, that almost makes me feel like you got a captain Aguero. You know, like the way we're talking about it. I'm doing it, Brandon, in real time. Wow. I'm swapping my captain.
Wow. You're really ready for that bus to come out of nowhere and knock you sideways.
Yeah. I mean, okay, there's like this whole like a goal is worth five for a midfielder versus four for a forward, like which some people trot out sometimes. I mean, I don't really understand that argument because if a player is way more likely to score a goal than the other player, like doesn't that cancel out the 1 point thing? I don't know. Like that's sort of how I feel. I mean, I guess you might get a clean sheet bonus from them as well. But
well, I mean, it's recency bias, but how way more likely was Aguero to score than Raheem Sterling in game week 30 when Sterling got his hat trick and Aguero walked away with what, one assist?
One assist. No, that's true. That's true. I mean, I think
which goes to show, as we were talking about before we started recording, you know, this is not within our control.
Right.
We cannot definitively predict who are going to score these goals in game week
32. That is one reason to think about Kane, I think, just because you know that he starts both those matches, right? There's no way he's not starting away to Liverpool. There's no way he's not going to start at home to Crystal Palace in the first home match at their new stadium, right? Yeah. So you know you're getting minutes out of him. I would be stunned if he didn't get one goal in those two matches, right?
Yeah, right. No, I would too.
Yeah.
I would too.
Yeah. And just given that when a forward scores, they tend to get bonus points, right? Because, you know, just the way the bonus point system works, a forward is, you know, heavily rewarded for any goal they score. So, you know, you're probably looking at, let's assume he gets one goal, let's assume he plays both matches. You're looking at 10, 11 points, maybe more, you know. Let's say he gets 12 points. If I just told you right now that Harry Kane was going to get 12 points in game week 32 and you didn't know what anyone else was going to score, would that be enough for you to captain Harry Kane?
Wow, I feel like it's deal, no deal right now. And I often ask myself, watching these game shows, where it's like, do you take the money that you have and leave behind the bird opportunity the for the million versus, dollars? Yep. I guess I'll take it.
Me too. I can't believe you even hesitated. If you told me right now that Kane was going to get 12, if you told me that Kane was going to get 12 points over the double game week, I would shake your hand immediately and say, yes, I will take it. Uh-huh. 12 points from a captain, even a double game week, is fantastic. A guaranteed 12 points. It's huge. So, I mean, obviously we don't know what he's going to do.
You imagine then the worst case is there. Now we're really like down the rabbit hole here. But the worst case is like Aguero scores two goals over the double game week, or Sterling scores two. And then that's not even worse.
But there's a good chance Kane scores two goals over the double. I mean, you know, he's best pure striker in the Premier League, you know, neck and neck with Aguero anyway.
I'm still not ready to move the armband to Kane.
No, I'm not either, but I think there's a strong case for it, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Aguero probably scores at least one goal as well. The same argument that I just made for Kane could apply to Aguero too. I think it's just it's that first home match, the Cardiff one, or excuse me, the Crystal Palace one, that just really intrigues me. Couldn't you see that being like a 5-0 game? You know, just this like huge match, like just like huge relief for everybody, like finally gets a chance to move into the new stadium. Everyone will be like totally amped up. You know, Palace will, you know, don't have a super deep squad. They'll be playing their second game in the game week. it just seems like a chance where, you know, the team could really run rampant. It actually makes me want to consider someone like Erickson or Alley just a little bit. I kind of dismissed them earlier, but I'm going to think about it now a little bit. I mean, the only issue then is that you have two Spurs players away to Liverpool. And like, it wouldn't shock me if Kane did something in that match. Like maybe someone gets tripped in the box and Kane scores a pen or just, you know, whatever. I mean, Kane often finds a way to score, like on a corner kick or something. But do I think Kane and Erickson or Kane and Ali are going to score in that match? I don't.
Yeah. So, I mean, the other thing to follow for Kane will be the Montenegro match, which happens tomorrow on Monday. Mm-hmm. I see now as we're recording that Hazard is starting in today's Belgium match against Cyprus. So we'll see how many minutes he gets. But yeah, check this space. Check our Twitter feed for information on star players and players who get minutes during these European qualifiers or other international friendlies and qualifiers. We'll try and keep you posted.
Perfect. All right, Brandon, that's the pod. This has been a lot of Game Week 32 content. This is like 2.5 hours now across these two pods of Game Week 32 content. Good luck to, and actually we're going to do another Patreon pod in a couple of days. So it's like 3 full hours on one game week. So good luck to everybody. Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to support the podcast, visit patreon.com/alwayscheating. We'll keep you updated on our free hit chip squads throughout the week on social media as well. Let's do some producer thank yous, Brandon.
Absolutely. Big thanks to our producers, Mike DiPietro, Stephen Toomey, Sam Streak, Carl Rasmus, Leni Granley, Chris Howell, Rafi Khan, Martin Savage, DeBig Gaffer, Danny Evans, Babas Kuhn, Tor Ferdland, The Great Husbini, Rick Brailsford, Jim Payne, Adam Benjamin, Max Chamberlain, Brian T., Trevor Ingerson, Chris Carter, Ben Grant, James Holland, Matt Ritter, and Oyvind Anderson. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, Acast, wherever it is you get fine podcasts. And wherever you subscribe, feel free to give us a 5-star review. We really appreciate it. And Josh, you mentioned those social media channels where we're going to be keeping everyone updated on our free hit squads. Where are those channels now?
Those channels are, there's a site called twitter.com. It's it's a fairly new site. Probably never heard of it. We're at Hail Cheaters there, H-A-I-L Cheaters. Instagram, we're also at Hail Cheaters. And remember, if you're on Instagram, make sure to follow us on Hail Cheaters. We post lots of different content there. I think we've got a little meetup happening at the Black Horse this weekend too, don't we, Brandon? I feel like that's on the
One of our Patreon supporters, AJ, is going to be there, and anyone else who's in the neighborhood is welcome to join. We'll get some details out there about that soon.
Yep. And meeting Peter Blake this week too, which I'm looking forward to. And Facebook is facebook.com/alwayscheating. You can email us hailcheaters@gmail.com. And then you can visit the website to find basically everything we just talked about, alwayscheating.com.
Excellent. Happy tinkering, anyone on a free hit. And if you're not on a free hit, you can tinker too. That's fine. Tinker away.
Tinker even more. Yeah. I love that kind of high stress, point burning tinkering just as much as anybody. All right, Brandon. Well, good luck to you this game week. And hey, by the way, go Michigan State Spartans. What a great 2 wins. One win was great. One win was kind of hair raising. But anyway, they're into the Sweet 16, playing LSU on Friday. Don't forget to root for our Spartans, people.
All right. Poku forever. Good luck, Josh. See ya.
Hail cheaters. See ya.